good that everybody's able to see this. And my hope is that we have moments that we return back to normal, back to there's still pockets of our lives that are what they are. And we still get to be connected to God. We still get to be connected to one another. And so that's what we're trying to carve out today with our worship service. So we're going to do the things that we normally do. And so we're glad you're with us, and we're glad to do it. So Matt.
All right.
Good morning.
Good morning. So glad that you guys could be with us today. And let's just start off with some prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for being with us and meeting us wherever we're at. We are gathered together around your word, even though we're scattered across many homes, that you connect us through your word and through your spirit. So, Lord, I ask that you allow all of us to recognize that we are not alone, that you are with us, and because you are with us, we are with one another. I ask, Holy Spirit, that you fill us. Replace our anxiety with peace and give us some joy today, I ask. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thanks. Yeah, take advantage of this time to really anchor and remember that God is good. We always begin our worship service with a prayer of confession and absolution where we recognize we are God's good creation, but death has been introduced and it's not right. And so we talk to God together. We say, Lord, forgive us for our sins. And then we receive his assurance that he does. And so if you can, I don't know if it's been posted. The prayer of confession has been posted somewhere that you can read along.
Is it on Instagram?
Facebook and Instagram. It's been posted in our story. Perfect. So you could read along the prayer of confession and absolution, and you can read along with the Apostles' Creed and the Lord's Prayer. And I think songs posted there too? Anthony says yes. So you can get that and go along with us. But the idea that Matt and I were talking about this morning is that we're still saying it with other people, even though we're not in the same room. And we're still receiving it from God for all of his people, individually and together. So let's pray this prayer of confession together. Saying, Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Then Almighty God in his mercy has given his Son to die for you. As a called and ordained minister of the gospel, and by his authority, I therefore get to tell you and say, I forgive you. God forgives you for all the fear. God forgives you for being powerless. God forgives you, and he loves you. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. So rest in the reality that you're forgiven, because we are going through a lot, and it's easy to get upset and to get freaked out. So rest in his forgiveness today. Let's sing a song.
Now we are going to read from Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 11. This is going to be our meditative reading for today, and it is found on page 550. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. This is the reading of God's word.
Thanks be to God.
The Spirit of God dwells in you. You carry the life that is in Jesus Christ. The very power that rose him from the dead is in you. So for a moment, put your mind on that. Turn away from the distractions of the news and everything else that's going on in the world and set your mind on the reality that God's Spirit is in you. And you have life and peace because of that. So let's take a moment to anchor in the fact that we have God's Spirit in us. Lord, thank you for giving us your Spirit, for hope in dark times, for life when we're surrounded by death, for peace when all the world has to offer is anxiety. Your Spirit is in us and overwhelms all of these things. Continue to give us moments where we can set our minds on the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God. I ask this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. We're going to have to practice every day whenever you're feeling anxiety and you are quiet for a second and you can feel your heart race and you can start to become aware of what's occupying your mind. We want to remind you, when we say anchor, it's like tether to Christ. Sit down and become aware of all the noise in your mind. And once you become aware of it, it can be kind of scary at first. You're going, this is really overwhelming. But the practice and the anchoring is then to give it to Jesus. And the hope is that you start practicing moments of peace where you're giving these things to God, who's given us his Spirit and given us life in the midst of death. So I think it's great. We're trying to do this on our neighborhood show.
Yes.
Give you a chance to anchor, and now's a good time to start practicing that with all that's going on. So as we turn towards our sermon today, we are in the midst of a series on conversations with Jesus. And we've gone from Nicodemus, who talked with Jesus, to the lady at the well. And last week, do you remember who it was last week that we talked to?
Wow. We've done so many things.
I'm putting him on the spot. It's the blind man. We talked to him last week. And in all these conversations, you see Jesus being able to handle their question, answer honestly. They always get a little confused, but by the end of it, they've changed or they've been satisfied. Or last week, the blind man was given his sight. And the idea was Jesus sees you. The idea is Jesus changes you. Jesus satisfies you, all these things we need, but they come from conversations with Jesus. And these are purposeful readings. They're historic readings for Lent. And we were talking this week. I mean, we decided to give up some things for Lent, but really the season of Lent chose us this year, I think, right? I mean, we're all in a season of not knowing and giving up even our freedoms. Even we're giving up the ability to gather. And so these conversations with Jesus are for people going through suffering. And so we've seen suffering in every one of those conversations. Today is a big one, because I want to tell you, if I were just to say to you, Matt, your life's going to be back to normal any day now, what would you say to me?
How do you know that?
Right. That's a good question. How do I know that? I don't. But Jesus has to address this question today. And he says to us, within his conversation, he says, I will bring you back to life. I will bring life back to you. I can do that. So I'm very interested in how Jesus can do this and how he can work in us now, not just one day when we all escape and go to heaven. So let's read John chapter 11. This is a long one, so find it on your phone, or you're using your phone. And the Bible is provided here.
Page 523.
Is it 523? Mm-hmm. All right. 523 is John chapter 11. We're going to read 1 through 46. It's a long passage, but what we're going to do is we're going to break it up into four different pieces. So we're going to read 1 through 16, talk about it, 17 through 27, and so on. And so keep your finger or keep your app open as we go. So Matt, would you like to begin?
Yes. So John chapter 11, verses 1 through 16. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent to him, saying, Lord, he whom you love is ill. But when Jesus heard it, he said, this illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, let us go to Judea again. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you, and you are going there again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him. After saying these things, he said to them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to awaken him. The disciples said to him, Lord, if he's fallen asleep, he will recover. Now Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought that he meant taking rest in sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus has died, and for your sake I am glad that I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him. So Thomas, called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let us also go, that we may die with him.
Wow, so hopeful, Thomas. Let's go. I guess we're all going to die.
I know.
So set us up. What did you just read? Or do you want me to set it up?
No. So in the book of John, this is a crucial turning point for Jesus' story and our story. In all of his conversations with people, he has changed the hearts of many. He's changed the lives of many people. He's also upset very powerful and important people in Jewish society. And in the previous reading, they were ready to kill him. And so Jesus and the disciples were away from Jerusalem. They weren't going near Jerusalem because the authorities and leaders there wanted to kill him. It was a public knowledge at this point. And so when he hears that his friend Lazarus is sick, Jesus makes a crucial decision to risk his own life for the life of his friend. And this is where he begins his march towards the cross, is to save the life of his friend Lazarus.
Wow. Anything else?
That was, for the setup for this.
That was pretty good. Because what all of that I agree with.
Yeah,
totally.
No.
What I heard was the disciples going, what's going on?
Right.
What is going on? It makes no sense.
Yeah, because they don't want him to go. They know that Jesus is going to die if he goes near Jerusalem.
Well, and look what Jesus says. I'm becoming more and more enamored with how honest Jesus is in the moment. I used to think Jesus speaks in riddles. Now I just realize sincere honesty right out of the gate is a riddle to most of us. Yes. It's like, why are you being honest? Are you being honest? What does that mean? Because he says, right away, the sisters come and they go, Lazarus is ill. He's going to die.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus just says, it's not to death. It's for the glory of God, but it's going to be for the Son of God may be glorified through it.
Yeah.
So essentially, Jesus says,
he tells the ending of the story.
Right. He goes, look, this is going to be so that you all know who Jesus is. This is going to be for my glory. I'm going to bring him back to life right out of the gate. And then, of course, the disciples, we can't understand that. Then he says, I'm going to stay here 2 more days. Shouldn't we go to Lazarus now? No, we'll hang out here 2 more days, and then I'll decide to go. I don't know. So for me, the idea is, in times of chaos, in times of not knowing, we're trying to figure out who knows what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
So right now, right. Today, we are looking. Who knows what's going on? When will it end? Where do we go? What do we do? And Jesus, with authority, says, look, I know the mission. I know I'm going to restore hope to you, the hope that there's something ahead. It's under control. And Jesus says, I know what's going on. I know my mission. I know the timing of things. I'm going to wait 2 days before I go. Why did he do that?
Why did he do that?
Oh, I thought you had a cool thing about that.
No.
Oh, well, what I
oh,
read.
Okay. Yes.
Come on.
Sorry. I do have a cool thing about that. So
he was listening to me and just like, Adam, that's great.
I'm like, Adam, what's going on?
I'm with you, buddy.
Let me engage it. Yeah. So according to Jewish tradition at that point, they had this idea that after someone died, for 3 days, the spirit hovered around the body of the dead person. And on day 4, it departed and the person was truly dead.
Right.
And so Jesus waits for an extra 2 days
right.
to establish a real miracle in the minds of his audience.
Which is so cool because it's not cool to us
right.
when someone's sick or dying. And what's it's going to lead to, we're going to get to it next, is the reaction of Martha and Mary. But Jesus takes 2 days. The disciples don't know what's going on. Why would he do that? But Jesus knows what he's doing, even though we don't.
Right.
Jesus knows what he's doing today, even though we don't. He just does.
He does.
And so,
yeah.
And we'll see it. Now let's follow it out. But he knows what, and he even says, I'm doing this so that you will believe. I'm doing this so that you'll believe. So the idea of letting all the ideas of the spirit hovering over the body,
yeah.
Well, 4th day, no one accounts for the 4th day. So Jesus is waiting for the 4th day to help us all believe and know that he is the hope of the world. He will give us energy to
mm-hmm.
keep going because he knows what's going on.
Yeah.
So we look to him for hope. We need hope right now. So we're looking to Jesus. Let's continue with the story in verse 17. Now, when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. And Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. And Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. But Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. Let's stop there, because those are amazing words. That's an amazing scene. Who knows what's going on? Jesus, okay. How do we interact with Jesus in these conversations? Like, what is going on? And I think it's legitimate, because remember Martha and Mary? Martha's the one who does dishes. Mary's the one who sits with Jesus.
Yep.
So Martha, of course, runs to Jesus, because that's the responsible good thing to do. where is he? I'm going to him. But can you imagine if I ran to you and I said, Matt, if you were here, my son wouldn't have died.
Yeah.
That's harsh. But I like it because it's real. The Bible keeps it real.
Yeah.
And conversations with Jesus, all of them, the last four we've looked at, they're always very real. They get right to it. There's always a question behind a question. And the question for us today is, where are you?
Mm-hmm.
God, where are you? Why are bad things happening? I thought you know my brother. And then what we hear from guys like us is, one day we'll all go to heaven. And she says, I know one day, I know we're all on the road right to resurrection, but I'm suffering right now. And what does Jesus say? I love this. You're suffering right now. And Jesus does not say, well, one day we'll all escape. He has a very strong answer to her. He says, your brother will rise again.
Yeah.
And then he says, I'm the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. Like, this is big. Then he says, if everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? So let's unpack. Why is this big? I say this is big. Why is it big?
It requires faith from us to believe this. This is a powerful statement, but this is where we start to see hope, because Jesus is saying, I'm with you right now in the suffering. I'm meeting you where you're at right now, and I can handle your hard questions. All the questions that we think we're like so clever about, like, well, if God was loving, why is there bad things happening in the earth? And all those things, we can take those questions to God and he will answer them. He will engage them with us. He doesn't back up. He presses in. And that's what's so cool about this moment, is he's pressing into Martha and saying, I'm with you right now.
That's, yeah, I love that he says, I know. Where was I? I can't tell you everything, but I'm here now. I'm with you now. But the idea that the resurrection and the life that overcomes death, our Savior says, though you die, you'll never die. That is incredible. Who mm-hmm. else says that?
You're right.
But then the idea that he's like, I am the resurrection. So the hope of resurrection is a hand that we can touch, is a voice that we hear, is going to have tears that we see, mm-hmm. an embrace. Like the resurrection, Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life. Nothing else, nobody else can say that to you. And in your suffering, he says, I'm right here with you. I'm right here with you on the road towards resurrection in this suffering. Do you believe it? And if we can believe it, and it's rest. So he gives us hope. He knows what's going on, but he also gives us faith. And the faith is just rest that I'm here with you right mm-hmm. now. And that's what I would say to us. Rest and believe Jesus is with you in your house right now. He's not leaving you or forsaking you. He's with you. He says, I'm here right now to where are you? Question. But it gets even better. But wait, there's more.
All right.
Let's read chapter verse 28
through
37. Yeah.
When she had said this, meaning Martha, she went and called her sister Mary, saying in private, the teacher is here and is calling for you. And when she heard it, she rose quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw Mary rise quickly and go out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Now when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. So the Jews said, see how he loved him. But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying?
Well, you got Jesus is available for Martha to come to, but then for the Marys out there, there's the teacher is calling for you. Mm-hmm. Like Jesus is on the earth for us, whether we run to him or whether he calls for us. I love that. And then my favorite verse. I've told you this story.
Yeah.
If you've been around, you know the story. I'll tell it again. When I was growing up and in Sunday school, you had to choose a life verse, choose a famous verse. And I chose John chapter 11, verse 35, Jesus wept. And at the time I chose it because it was the shortest verse I could find. And I knew I could memorize it and be done and get the patch or do whatever. And the teachers knew that. And they said, choose a better verse. That's not real. And I was like, it's a real Bible verse.
Yeah.
So.
And is there a better verse?
As I've gotten older, and here we find ourselves today, it is one of my favorite verses for a new reason now, not because it's the shortest, but because it has the most emotion in it. It tells the whole story of Jesus, that he sees the scene, he knows that Lazarus has died, he knows that he's going to bring him back, yet he's fully immersed in this life with us, and he knows you were not created for death. Have you ever created something and then seen it destroyed and you're like, oh, it used to be so nice? Jesus created the world. He knows what you're supposed to look like.
Mm-hmm.
He knows how life is supposed to be, and he sees what's happened and he weeps. And this has always been a passage for me that whatever we are going through, and we're going through job loss will be a big one. We don't know what the world's going to look like. But I can tell you this, Jesus is not going, just be okay. Don't feel emotion. He's
right.
Weeping with us. He gets in the pit. Wherever pit you're in, he gets in it with us. And he cries and he holds you and he says, I'm here. Or I've seen the past injustice done towards you. I've seen what's happened. I've seen the brokenness and I'm crying because it's not right. And I'm crying because I love you and I'm with you. And even in this pit, whatever it is, and whatever you're scared is coming, Jesus gets in there with you and he holds on to you. And in Psalm 103, it's like, I've been, you know, memorizing that, and it says, he crowns you with steadfast love and mercy in the pit. So while you're in the pit, his love is right beside you and his mercy is there. He's crowning you with those things so that as you look up at the pit and you're like, no one's helping me, no one's caring, Jesus says, I know what that's like,
mm-hmm.
and I'm here with you and I'm weeping. I love that verse. And that this is where what's given back to us is Jesus loves you. He's giving hope to you. He's with you, and he loves you.
Yeah.
I had to take that one because I just love that verse.
I know. Yeah, for me, it's the idea that we have a Savior who suffers with us, that he is not above us and detached from what's going on. He's not distant, but he gets down in the mess, in the mud with us. And the verse right before it, where he says he was deeply moved in his spirit, mm-hmm. and greatly troubled, it's really like that gut wrench is what it is. Jesus experiences that gut wrench. When you see someone else suffering that you care about and that you love, and they are hurting so much, and you know how bad that hurt is, and you can't do anything other than cry for them, that's what Jesus is doing right now.
And that's what we're starting to feel too, as financially things get so precarious. We're praying and feeling with our friends and family because Jesus does it with us. Well, even the Jews who were paid to mourn.
Yeah.
So that's some of the history, is that there are people who were paid professional mourners. They were there crying with Mary and Martha. And they even said, see how he loved him. See how Jesus loved him. And then others said, well, couldn't he have opened the eyes of the blind man? Why couldn't he keep this guy from dying? That's always going to be attacking your heart, is save yourself, save yourself. Mm-hmm. Why doesn't God just save us from all these things? And we have to remember, Jesus came to save us,
yeah, I think
not himself.
The accusation's always going to be, do more, or could he have done more? Or why didn't he do more? Why didn't God stop this sooner? Why is this happening? That's always going to be the accusation. But here Jesus is in it. He's risking his life right now to mourn the loss of his friend. He is going to the cross because of this move.
But the accusation is what we put on ourselves. Why didn't I do more? if I could save that one, why couldn't I save it this time? I could always make money before. Why can't I make money this time? Why can't, what? And Jesus takes the accusation. He says, I don't play that game. It's a broken world. I'm here to save it. So then he does, though. Remember, he said the mission is that you will be see the glory of the Son of God. So Jesus is not just a wonderful mother who's comforting us and going to be with us, but he has tons of power. Watch this. Then, okay, let's go verse 38. Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, Lord, by this time there is an odor, for he has been dead 4 days. And Jesus said to her, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. We'll talk about that. I knew that you always hear me. But I said on this account of the people, I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me. And when he said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The man who died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips and his face wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to them, unbind him and let him go. Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what he did, believed in him. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done, and they want to get him in trouble. That's the end of our passage for today. So
this is the big moment.
This is the moment. You think it's about the Lazarus resurrection, the whole story, but what we've seen, it's about how God meets us in the suffering. And in on our road to resurrection, he meets with us, and he gives us hope, and he gives us faith, and he loves us. But here is where the power shows up, mm-hmm. that Jesus actually is powerful enough to move the stone, to unbind us, to set us free, to bring us back to life now and over death one day.
Yeah. I just love that his words speak into our death and bring us to life. Hmm. That he engages us verbally through conversations, that all of these conversations have been leading to this. Mm-hmm. Life after death.
Well, even leading to this, though, is it Mary? Her response is just like ours. When Jesus is starting to exhibit his power, we still think we know better. Jesus says, move the stone. And after all this, Mary says, Jesus, I don't know if you know science, but he's going to stink now. It's 4 days. And the King James, I have to say it, says, but Lord, no, he stinketh. We'll have to have Troy make a t-shirt. No, Lord, he stinketh. Or just, he stinketh. And it's inside joke, high level biblical humor. But we're always trying to say, no, Lord, do it this way. Mm-hmm. Jesus, do it this way. Even throughout the whole story, like, you should have been here earlier. We shouldn't go there. We're going to die. Don't move the stone, Jesus. And we always know better. And the relief for us today is just let go of telling Jesus what to do and let him do for you. He's got love and he's got all power and he's bringing it for you. He says, Lord, I'm praying to you. I know you hear my voice.
I love that.
I know.
Especially based off what you were just saying, because stop trying to tell Jesus what to do.
Yes.
And listen to him, because God the Father listens to him.
Right.
I love that. He says, Father, I know that you always listen to me, but I'm saying this out loud so everyone else around me knows that we are connected. That God the Father and God the Son have a relationship that Jesus invites us into and says, I will speak for you.
Stop fighting it. Holy Spirit, unbind him.
And I love that, because then we stop fighting it, and then we just respond to Jesus, who says, Lazarus, come out.
All right.
And then we just walk out of the tomb.
So I'm thinking, no matter what our circumstances are going forward or right now, that Jesus has the power to speak into those circumstances. He has the power to say, I love you. I'll provide for you. We're losing hope. I'll restore your hope. I know what's going on. You're losing faith. Oh, I'm right here with you. rest on me. You're losing the love of life, the love, it's dying, it's being taken from you. He's there for you. Mm-hmm. And he has the power to resurrect you now and forever. He's bringing us back to life, giving us this energy. And this is the word of God to you today, is that continue to have conversations with Jesus. He will restore you. Keep going back and be honest. He can handle your honesty. He will give you truth. He's given it to us in his word. And the Holy Spirit gives it to us. And now you have the Spirit of Jesus that rose from the dead in you. Therefore, there is no condemnation. You're forgiven. Mm-hmm. Even if you made mistakes and we don't know how to handle today or tomorrow, go to him, be forgiven, and restored to life now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
Let me pray. Lord, thank you for your conversations. Thanks for talking to us. I don't know where else I could go. I don't know who else I could talk to that would have the love and the patience and the power that you have. And so I thank you. I pray that, Holy Spirit, you would apply this even over the internet. It's your word that brings back life. So I pray for New City Church, Lord, wherever we're sitting now, wherever we're watching this, that you would restore our joy, the joy of our salvation. And we ask this in the beautiful and strong and loving, powerful name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. So now we're going to recite the Apostles' Creed together. And for those of you who are at home, please say this out loud. Say it out loud. And as you're saying it, connect to the reality that there are several other people in their homes saying this out loud with you. Again, we are not alone. God is with us, and you have other people who are with you and mm-hmm. praying for you and talking to Jesus on your behalf. Mm-hmm. So let's say the Apostles' Creed together. Christians, what is it that you believe?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there, he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
So it's at this point in the service, we would give a chance to write down prayer requests. And we still want to pray and want to know what's going on in your life so that we can pray for and with you. And so the way we would encourage it now in our current setting would be feel free to text Matt and I, include mm-hmm. us. Let us know, too, if a prayer request is open to be announced for everyone to pray or if it's private. We assume everything's private unless you say, tell everybody. So it's going to be private unless you say, let everyone know. And then we'll pray for it during the week. We'll pray for it during our show and in every way we can. But we encourage you even today to continue that practice of writing it out or typing it out, sending it or putting it up in your house or whatever. Because the Lord hears us. He hears your prayers. We also use this time to say thank you, Lord. Even during tough times, we thank the Lord because we're still eating, we're still sleeping, we're still healthy, at least in our community, we're still healthy, and we still have our homes, and so we want to say thank you, Lord, for everything that you've mm-hmm. given us, and we don't want to switch out our hope in God for money because jobs have gotten harder. We don't want to do that. We want to keep God the person and the thing that we fear, love, and trust because he gives us our identity. He gives us our security and our purpose in life. And so we give to him our tithe. We give offering to him because we say, you provide for us. So we want to ask you, please continue to give online. Do you know it's just on our website. So newcitynow.com.
newcitynow.com/giving.
giving. That way we can continue to give to the network, and the churches are still going on during this time when it's difficult for everybody. But continue to give and give joyously. We do pray today. The thing I want to share with you to pray for.
Yeah.
Because this year we had been praying for someone. We have two weddings that are coming up, and this has greatly disturbed all the plans. You have Miranda and Mike, who are getting married April 19th, and then Peter and Ray are getting married in June. And, you know, preparing for a wedding is all planning. And you're, like, trying to – it's like spinning plates and getting everything just right. And what's happened in the world has really made
plates
this – have come crashing down. So if you would pray for Miranda and Mike and for Peter and Ray and for their wedding plans – that would be something good we could do today for them, because getting married is really important and fun, and it means a lot to them. And let's pray that they can still enjoy that God would be with them through the whole thing. So let me pray for that, and then we'll say the Lord's Prayer together after this prayer. Lord, we lift up to you Miranda and Mike. We thank you for the love that you have put in their hearts for one another and their desire to be married and all the planning, Lord, that they've put into it. We pray that you would restore any money that's been put down already, and that you would give them your peace and joy as you open up new plans and new ways for them to be married. Lord, we pray that it wouldn't steal any of their joy or any of the beauty of the commitment they're making to one another in front of you and their family and friends. And we pray the same for Peter and Ray, that you would protect them from frustration or negativity and fill them with your joy and the hope of being married, that you would allow all the family involved and everything to work out better than we could have imagined. But Lord, meet them in their frustration right now and in their fear, because it's great. And pray, we pray as a church, you would bless these couples in the preparation of their wedding day and bless their marriages. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Now we pray the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Wanted to make another announcement. Typically, we do the Lord's Supper at church. And so we are letting people know the realities now are it's probably not good for you to be coming in at all, leaving your house. So please set up a time with us this week. Mm-hmm. We've been doing the Lord's Supper over FaceTime with people we know. And again, we're allowed to do the Lord's Supper in extreme times. So if you were in the hospital, typically we like to do the Lord's Supper together. It's a time of communion for the church. And so we do it together. But if you were homebound with a sickness or in the hospital, we'd find a way to bring it to you. And so that's what we're doing for the people in our community. We know you. You know our phone number. Call us. Let us set up a time. If you can, get some kind of grape juice or wine or bread. If not, we'll use something else. But we've been enjoying doing that for about four or five families. We've done it now over FaceTime, and we'd love to do it for everyone this week, because we think the Lord's Supper is something that doesn't have to change in the midst of all the change. We don't have to give up, or this cannot be stopped. So find time to take the Lord's Supper with us this week. We're glad you're a part of New City Church, and now receive God's blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord shine his face upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you and shine his countenance, smile upon you, and give you peace, his peace, now and forever. Amen.
Amen.